Welcome to Michelle is Money Hungry. I'm your host, Michelle Jackson, and I am really excited to share this week's episode today. Please note that this is an unedited show, and I am talking about my experience at the Sense Positive Financial Independence Retire Early Women's Retreat. If you're looking to grow your personal brand, you're trying to let people know what you're about and answer the different popular questions that you get asked all the time, check out why you should create an ebook today. I have a webinar called How to Make $500 a Month with Ebooks. Go to the show notes to access the link for this resource. The show notes link is michelleismoneyhungry.com/sensepositive. That's CENTS positive. So michelleismoneyhungry.com/sensepositive. Please forgive my voice. It's a little hoarse. I've been talking all weekend more than I normally do. And it's been phenomenal. So I'm just going to talk about what I was up to this weekend. What in the heck is fire? And yeah, we're going to get into it again. This is an unedited show, but I think it'll be okay. So this past weekend, I participated in a fire retreat hosted here in Denver by Tanya from Our Next Life. I've just forgotten her last name. Oh my God. Tanya is a woman who has attained financial independence and she has retired early. She runs an incredible blog called Our Next Life and also is one of the co-hosts of the show, the podcast, excuse me, The Fair Sense with Cara Perez. I like paused. Oh my God. Anyway, I want to say, first of all, a huge thank you to Tanya for addressing a need and creating an incredibly safe and welcoming space to talk about money. I've talked about money for a long time, my own personal struggles with debt and savings and all the things related to money. And it's a very difficult conversation to have with many people. And so to be given an additional space to have a conversation like this was incredible. And it was really fortunate for me to have this happen in Denver because this year I wasn't traveling. I haven't traveled since last year, October 2017, when I flew to Dallas. I want to say it was Dallas. Yeah, Dallas for FinCon 2017. So it's been a year. And when I decided not to travel, I was a little concerned that I might miss out on certain opportunities, but it soon became apparent that opportunities would show up when the universe decided that they should in my life. That's very woo-woo, but we're going to go with it. So what exactly is FIRE? For those of you who are like, Michelle, like I'm usually here for the business, but I think that this is an important conversation because I don't just talk about creativepreneur life. I also talk about money because I'm a personal finance influencer first and foremost. And my mission is to help my listeners and blog readers attain better financial lives, even if it's through reading about my own personal struggles with money. So FIRE stands basically for financial independence, retire early. You've probably seen those stories about people retiring at the age of 27 and traveling the world because they've been able to amass over $1 million in saved funds for retirement. And typically the formula that many of these people focus on is 25 times their income, the income that they would like to, or rather the income that they're earning now, I believe, with a 4% withdrawal rate over time. So basically the idea is you can kind of create this, you can focus on a certain number. And once you hit that number, you have the option to retire. And I've known many people who've done this. I had an opportunity to meet more people who've done this and also just to be in a space with a lot of women in particular who are focused on this as a financial goal. what was unique about this retreat? Well, again, it was for women. The other thing was, it was the first retreat of its kind. So I don't believe that there was anything else like this before. Also, it was incredibly affordable. So a lot of these women are honestly very frugal because they've got certain goals that they're trying to attain. But also there's women like myself who I'm frugal, but I really would have wanted to participate in this because it's part of how I envision my financial journey moving, like what I'm moving towards in my journey. So it was wonderful that it was an affordable event. It was close to the airport. It wasn't a sexy area. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't sexy. But that was okay because we were there for a retreat. We weren't there for sightseeing, and it was wonderful. So why was I there, and what did I realize? As I mentioned in last week's podcast, I'm getting closer to paying off my unsecured debt. That was the lion's share of my unruly debt. So I have three different types of debt right now. That unsecured debt was the most difficult because it was at higher interest rate. There were so many different bills that I had, so many people I was dealing with, entities, letters, like it was just crazy. So now I'm in the last $5,000 of that debt, and then I have my student loans and one other little debt. And so as I have gotten closer to closing out that part of my financial stress, quite honestly, I was like, well, what's next? Like, what am I supposed to do next? And I've heard this from people who've attained major goals. They've reached these huge goals and they're like, I don't know, like, wow, it's kind of a letdown. And I was concerned about that a little bit. So I decided that FIRE would be a great transition for me personally. I'm very attracted to the message of it. I love the idea of attaining a level of wealth that gives me a type of financial security I have never experienced before. So it's very appealing to me on a personal level. So here's the thing about my opinion on the FIRE movement. I think that it's unfortunate that there are so many, that the perception is that it's white tech bros who are doing it. There are actually a lot of other people doing, working towards FIRE. Many of us read The Millionaire Next Door. Maybe their FIRE isn't as sexy because they're choosing to, these millionaires next door might still be working their jobs, but that's really what they're doing. Like, they've built in financial independence into their lives because they're slowly but surely saving and investing and making very focused financial decisions so that they can have a better life and a safe retirement, and they can take care of their kids and so on and so forth. So I will actually include a link to The Millionaire Next Door. So in my view, this is a slightly more accelerated pace. That's the only thing. And it's hardly surprising. It's 2018, almost 2019, and we have the benefit of a lot of digital options in terms of taking out savings, automating, investing. But there's just things that we can do at this point in history to facilitate this focus. I think that many people get way too focused on the retire early part of the acronym, like crazy, ridiculously focused on it, and they get pissed off about it. I don't know why. Some of the FIRE related press doesn't talk about the fact that no one can begin FIRE unless their financial foundation is in order. It's just not possible. So I have had to learn how to manage my money. I had to learn financial literacy. I've had to pay off debt. I've had to, like, there's been so much work on my financial foundation before I could ever begin to entertain this as a possibility for me. So I think that that is something that people need to be a lot more forthcoming about, because it's just reality. There's no way that you're ever going to be able to attain FIRE if your foundation is is a mess. And so that's just reality. I also wish that people who weren't interested in FIRE wouldn't give people who are interested in this movement like such a hard time. I've noticed some tweets and things like that, and some like comments, like kind of backhanded things. And I'm like, you know what? It's not for you. That's totally fine. When I was paying off debt, like as an American trying to be debt free, it's the same thing. Like people give you crap about wanting this in your life. Personal finance is personal. Let people do what they want to do. Unless you're paying their mortgage, that's different. So it's been interesting kind of seeing this movement kind of trigger people. And I think partly because sometimes there are people who are up front and center talking about FIRE who can make this an unappealing part of the personal finance space. Maybe not intentionally, like it could be totally unintentional, because sometimes you just need a different messenger. And that's part of why this event was created, so that the face and the conversation behind FIRE would be narrated by different types of people, and also by women, because we make up a large portion of this space. One of the other things that I realized was that I'm already living the exact way that I would if I were to retire early. So if tomorrow I was like, I've got $2 million in my accounts, I'm good, and I just quit everything, it wouldn't really change the way that I live my life at all. I also like making money, and my goal moving forward is just to make crazy amounts of money. Like, that's all I want to do, is make lots of money. So that means that I'm going to be working more. Totally fine with that. I will not be 32 years old when I hit my number. Just not going to happen. The current full retirement age for Gen X people is 66 years old, almost 67. And let's be honest, it is very likely that the retirement age will change for people who are Gen X and millennials. It's going to happen. Okay. And when that happens, it's likely it's going to be probably, I'm guessing, 69 to 72 years old. So if I can cut any time off of that retirement age, winning. So I wish people wouldn't get in their heads about all these extremely young stories, like these stories where people are 27, 29, 32, 34. I'm like, you know what? Put this in perspective. Okay. People retire at this age. What if you can cut 15 years off of that? Just creating the choice. You don't have to retire. You just have the option. And for me, that's the key. I want to create options, financial options in my life, because my financial foundation is strong. My personal focus is on financial independence, because again, I already live exactly the way that I want to live. So I'm going to break down the experience and what it was like for me. When I discovered this event, I applied for one of the many scholarships that they offered to attendees, and I was granted one. And I was so thankful, because when I submitted my application, I was like, you know, I'm at the tail end of debt repayment journey, and I don't think that it's in alignment with my journey to allocate the money towards something like this, but I would really benefit from it. Feeling a little emotional. And I just crossed my fingers and prayed, because I needed to connect with new people. I needed to connect with people who were focused on accumulating wealth, because that is where I feel like I have my current financial weakness, if you will. That's not a strength of mine right now. And I was very fortunate to receive a scholarship. And at the time that I received it, Tanya was like, hey, do you mind commuting to the event, to the retreat space, so that we can allocate another scholarship to another attendee? And I was like, absolutely. Well, unfortunately, one of the ladies who was planning on attending, I think something came up. And I was also able to stay at the retreat space, which was huge because actually it was quite far from where I live. It was about 45 minutes from my house. And being able to stay in this space, and I had my own, I was in a 2-bedroom suite. So I had a roommate in her own bedroom with her own bathroom, and I had my own bedroom, my own bathroom. It was amazing. It was amazing to really be present for the event. It hasn't been lost on me that this opportunity happened at the exact moment that I needed it, and that it's at the exact moment that I'm about to transition to wealth building, because I won't be focused on a billion debts that I'm paying off. I'll just be focused on a couple. One of the things I will say is, sadly, I was the only African American attendee out of 85 ladies. And honestly, this was not a reflection of a lack of inclusion or thoughtfulness on the part of Tanya, the creator of this event. Quite the opposite. She was so thoughtful and so focused and so amazing about this event. But I have some thoughts about why this might have happened. I think that it may have been because of the perception of fire and who's participating in this movement. And that was ironically why this event was created, to change the narrative. And I'm so excited to be a part of changing the narrative and getting people to understand that it's not just white tech bros. And I have a lot of lovely guy friends who are white tech bros who are doing this, but it's not just them. And ironically, on Friday of the event, the Wall Street Journal ran a huge article about FIRE with a feature on Sylvia Hall, an African-American woman living in Seattle who has hit FIRE. She's a single woman. She has a similar story to me, actually, and I interviewed her last year about her journey. And in fact, Sylvia is the reason why I believed that I could focus on FIRE, because I attended the Lola retreat, the inaugural Lola retreat for women in Portland, Oregon in 2017. And that event's run by my friend Melanie, and Melanie of Dare Debt. And at the end of the day, there was a panel about FIRE. And it was the first time I had met someone or even seen a person of color. And I'm talking, I think I've only seen an Asian woman once, maybe. But it was first time that I saw someone who looked like me on a panel talking about this amazing thing. And I was like, Sylvia, can I please interview you? Like, this is huge for me. Like, I'm feeling very emotional about this. And her story really resonated with me, because she also was adding into her retirement number her parents. And that would be something that I would have to do because I wanted to, is make sure that my mom's retirement was covered. So that is something that is very real and very important for me. And to have someone who looked like me have this conversation and talk about this was huge. So it was ironic that we're in this space, we're all women, they're all so nice. There were a few Latinas, like two maybe, and a few women who are Asian. But I definitely, my goal is to up those numbers for the next retreat. And I want people to understand that you should be attending this. If you're paying off debt, again, it's a natural transition. I met many ladies there who were still paying off debt, and they just wanted to have this information so that when the moment arrived where they could focus on this, they were informed and educated and were part of a community. If you're a FI curious woman of color, again, and you're still in debt repayment mode, or you're just not quite financially ready to make the transition, like your finances aren't there, I urge you to keep your eye on this event and sign up for scholarships when they become available, when the registration for that, the application is ready for, or is available for that, because you may win that scholarship like I did. And in fact, we as a community, the ladies who were there, we were like, how can we help bring other people to this event? So you will literally be able to attend and have everything covered, including your airfare for the next events. So be aware of that. Don't let money keep you from going. Maybe you're not 100% guaranteed that you'll get the scholarship. Open up an account. I love the Rise savings platform where you can save towards different goals. Tanya's mission is to keep this very affordable for attendees. $200 for the event was amazing. So it was $200, included several meals. That was not including housing, accommodation, but people had roommates. And a lot of the rooms were like, I think $150 per person, $150 for the night split by two. So it was pretty reasonable. So just like have that in mind if you're thinking about this seriously. I will share the Rise saving app affiliate link in the show notes as well. One of the things that was sad is Denver is officially a high cost of living city. I've felt this way for a while, but we actually had a very large Colorado contingent attend. And there was a moment where we were talking like as a group, like all 85 of us about trying to do this from high cost of living cities. And we were supposed to move to different parts of the room. And most of the Colorado contingent moved to the high COLA city option. So basically Denver's expensive. So for those of you who are like, is Denver expensive? Yes, it's expensive to live here. So just heads up. What made this event special for me? So in my opinion, your financial journey is an ultra marathon. And we are all at different points in our journey. Basically, because it's an ultra marathon, it basically never ends. Once you realize that, it's just going to be easier for everyone to stop being weird about people wanting to work towards FIRE, because all of us, regardless of whether or not we're working towards FIRE or not, will deal with the following: health-related issues, whether it is our own or other people's, deaths in our families, kids, significant others' needs, your own needs, taxes, medical care. My point, you can still hit a certain number in terms of savings, but you're always going to have money-related issues come up. Do you know how I paid off thousands of dollars of unsecured debt and dealing with a lack of financial knowledge? Like when I started my debt freedom journey, I was like clueless. And the way that I was able to even tackle it was I connected with other people doing the same thing. So when I first got into the financial space and the personal finances space, I was reading blogs. I was reading books. I was watching videos, on occasion on YouTube. You get the picture. And then I ended up going to this little random event called FinCon where all of my favorite bloggers were going to be. And it was the second year that FinCon was being held. It was being held in Denver. And it was like $100 for a ticket, including meals. And I was like, you know what? I'm so frustrated with my money. I'm going to go to this thing called FinCon. And honestly, if I hadn't attended FinCon, I don't think that I would even be anywhere close to where I'm at in terms of cleaning up my financial mess. So when opportunities arise where you can go to events such as Sense Positive, Lola Retreat, FinCon, Camp FI, the Mustachian things, Chautauqua, all these different financial opportunities where you can get in front of other people who are trying to do the same thing that you are, go. Figure it out and go, because you will benefit from all of the education. Some of the things that I would like to share about the event, the ladies there were married, single, or actually there were a few who had more than one partner. Very fun. It was like they were in a romance novel. Some were widowed. Some ladies had kids. Some didn't. Others were looking to have a significant other. Some were looking to have a significant other and children. It just, all walks of life.
What the ladies did have in common, though, was a shared goal of being financially empowered through saving more, earning more, and investing more. They also wanted to connect with community, and they were all very empathetic with each other's individual journey, which I really appreciated. You know, it's been weird. The closer I've gotten to just having two major bills to pay on, I've gotten really emotional. Like, it's been very intense emotionally to be at this point. I'm very excited. It's a little scary. And again, I needed a financial next thing to focus on. And this is what I'm focusing on, which is building my financial security. It's not just financial independence for me. It's building financial security. And that's why I loved this event so much. I also loved how welcoming the ladies were. They are funny. Like, I was laughing the entire time. That there were a large number of women in the room that were also taking care of their extended family's expenses. So I'm going to be frank here. And I said this comment to all the ladies. There was a moment where I spoke to the room and I said, you know, it's important for you to share stories like the fact that, even if you're anonymous, like the fact that you're helping out your extended family. Like, you know that your brother or sister has a mental health issue and that you're likely the one to deal with it. Or that your family is impoverished. Like, you're wealthy now, but your family is impoverished and you're still helping them out, like, financially. And I met several women who are white. I know it's surprising for those of you who think that it doesn't happen to white people. It does. But like, as a person of color, where it's so common to hear about this, it was refreshing to hear those stories. And it made these ladies a lot more relatable. So no, not all of them had stories like this, but it just made the community and the space a lot more comfortable, because you're like, it's not just me. They had incredible stories of financial change, a commitment to sharing our collective voices and stories to change the perception of the FIRE movement. Again, I'm not a white tech bro. Nothing wrong with them, but there's a lot of other people in this space. It was incredible to discover how knowledgeable they were about healthcare, taxes, and just taking the path less traveled. So now I'm like, oh my God, this is PhD level personal finance. Like, this is a whole, like, this stuff that they were talking about, I was like, I have never even heard of that. And I've been writing about money for 6 years, but it's, this is a whole different perspective about wealth accumulation. So this is why it's so important to be a part of these communities, because you learn things from people that you might not, might otherwise never hear about. Unfortunately, there was just not enough time for all the conversations that we could have had. We didn't have time for some of the topics that I think we could have spent a lot of time discussing, such as, again, accounting for extended family and your future FI budget, the zero waste movement, and why it's so appealing to a lot of people in FIRE, including myself. I think my goal is to try to minimize my waste output by 50%. No, I'm not talking poo. I'm talking about like trash and garbage and stuff that you accumulate and have, like, just being a human in America, which is about 4.5 pounds of trash a day per American. I would have loved to talk more about mental health as it relates to money, because money and mindset and how you feel about yourself and self-worth is so important. And that's been a big part of my financial struggle. It's unfortunate that many people working towards FIRE are anonymous. So it's funny, because it actually really makes sense. You're anonymous a lot of times because people are suspicious of this type of audacious financial goal. They just are. If they're not there financially, or they're just like, they just can't wrap their head around how this could work, there is a suspicion behind this goal. You can really risk your job. So if you're like, yeah, I'm working towards like retiring like a year, you might be passed up for a promotion or even let go for a person who's going to be there longer.
you might end up with relatives who are like, wait a minute now, you got money? Let's talk. Or unknown individuals who are soliciting for money from you. It's funny because I'm not anonymous at all. Obviously, I was on, you know, a major news show last week. And for a person who watches a ridiculous amount of The X-Files and Sons of Anarchy, you would think that this would be a concern of mine, but I'm not. I feel like in my case, it's really important to share my financial story because I think it really empowers other people. But now I work for myself, so it's different. I'm not worried that someone's going to fire me because I want to leave the job. Like, I'm my own boss. What was really funny to me is my debt repayment journey has perfectly positioned me to transition into FIRE. And honestly, like, my lifestyle would be exactly the same. Some final thoughts. I am not a FIRE focused blogger. While I will share some posts and podcasts reflecting on my own observations of the FIRE movement, of things I think people might want to think about or consider, I would say that I'm very much focused on helping my readers and listeners attain the most important part of their financial journey, which is basically building a solid financial foundation and having access to information that will help grow their income and craft their best lives through financial literacy. I am also very aware that it could take many years for me to attain what I feel is my FIRE moment. I'm okay with that because, again, I believe that your finances are an ultra marathon. For those of you who are like, what's an ultra marathon? It's a 100-mile marathon versus 26. I think that it's really important for the different financial niches to recognize where they overlap with one another and the opportunities that that overlap presents to expand each other's, or rather each niche's community. So debt freedom journey is a really good and surprising segue into FIRE. The other thing is I really have no interest in judging your personal finance journey and whether or not you should pursue this. So by me sharing this, I'm saying this is what I'm doing. I am by no means trying to say that you should do this. This is me talking about my life. Likewise, I'm not interested in being judged for my interest in this movement either. I think there's a lot of judgy McJudgersons out there. Look, you don't pay my bills. I don't pay yours. I want to support you on what you want to do and what makes you happy. This is what I'm excited about. Boom, we're good. Again, I'm already living my best life in terms of how I want to live. I go to the mountains. I see my friends and family. When I feel like it, I don't have to wake up with an alarm clock. I'm able to focus on my health and wellness. I travel without asking permission. My professional development is in my own hands, and I've spoken and moderated panels at major conferences. I've appeared on national news shows such as PBS NewsHour, and actually have a couple of other potential media segments that I may have happen. I've actually recorded another one. We'll see what happens with that. I've paid off thousands of dollars in debt. I have an incredible professional network, and I'm living my current values. So for me, literally, all I want to do is make money. Everything else is good. I just want to make more money. Boom, easy. So the moral of the story is you can actually live your best life before ever attaining the financial metric of $1 million. And I think that that's really important to think about. For me, it has taken a lot of freaking hard work to get to this point where I'm like, and it's still a mess. Like, it's still messy, but I'm so much closer than I was before. And I think that that's the point I'm trying to make. Maybe I don't hit $1 million in 5 years, but maybe I'm at 700,000. That's better than not at being at 700,000. Think about it. And my goal really is to get the word out about focusing on your financial foundation. Your financial life is an ultra marathon, not a marathon. Financial independence is where your focus should be. Then you can decide what comes next. If you want to retire early, and anything under 67 is early, boom. If you want to continue working, work. Like, why do you have to explain that to anybody?
Or if you want to do something in between, do it. I just want people to focus on creating that opportunity for themselves. If you enjoyed this show, please make sure to subscribe, like, and review this episode. Again, it is unedited because I've just spent the entire weekend at a retreat, but I do want to get these shows out on time, and I wanted it to be ready for you on Monday, so please do excuse some of the stutters, things like that, but that's what happens when you don't edit the show. To access the show notes, please go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/sensepositive. Again, michelleismoneyhungry.com/sensepositive. Again, I want to say thank you so much to Tanya from Our Next Life for providing this life-changing opportunity for me. I appreciate her so much. I really don't want to cry anymore because it's been such an emotional last couple of months. But I was very thankful to have the opportunity to be there and very excited to be connected with people whose only focus is growing money. And it's a huge financial shift for me. It's a huge mental shift for me. And I'm so excited to share that journey with you. I hope you have a great day, a wonderful week, and stay good. Vote. Don't forget to vote. I don't want to judge you. If you don't vote, I don't want to hear your bitching, okay? Have a great day. Take care. Bye.